fill those out? I mean, is it going up in numbers on people filling them out, or is it the same?
You know, with my limited experience, it seems like I'm more likely to put a comment if I can type it than I did if I wrote it. Yeah. The problem is, you know, for Maryland, is the way that it comes is, you know, because it's all anonymous, you can't lump them all in it, you know, because you get very, you know, great conference, good conference, wow, you know, awesome conference. And each one comes in as a separate comment, as a separate report.
Now, see, I had a better handle on that when it was paper, and then I would go in and make my own handwritten report. Then I knew, then I had a really good feel. But now, because it's anonymous, and the computer just prints it out page after page after page.
So, yeah, I think we're getting more comments, don't you think?
We are getting more comments.
Except for UPAA, because they don't have to have their CLE.
Those who have to have their CLE are getting a better response.
They're not filling out the evaluation. We're not getting feedback.
For those older members on the council, anonymous is much better.
That have to report.
Do you know that we have more?
Actually, there's absolutely no way for us to know.
It doesn't, Maryland doesn't have it. Yeah, and, you know, Maryland doesn't have it.
Said that about you.
Exactly.
Got it.
So.
Yeah, the way I've built it is that none of us, I can't even go in and know who made those comments.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I can't go to the database and say, oh, this was made by myself. No.
But you'll get page anonymous. After page of, love the location, hate the food, it was cold, and you'd get like 10
pages. I've tried to figure out how to get the computer to consolidate those, but I don't know. The computer learn that. That's a hands-on type of a thing.
So there's places to leave comments in each session
as well.
But it's not grouping all of them from one person in the same place in the report.
Yeah, it's not categorizing things. Yeah. Like I had it.
So you're not seeing that one person's complaining about everything.
No, we don't know that.
Right.
Okay. Because that's how you knew when it was good and when it wasn't good. You just had one person.
Yeah.
One or two.
And I knew who said it. I was the only person that knew who said it. But
the problem is the old grandma thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The next issue, and this is a sensitive topic, increasing our registration fees from 75 up as much as 125. So let me just kind of go through what I've got here and then open it up for discussion, and maybe you want to table it and think about it. We're the cheapest date anywhere for CLE training. Defense Bar is paying over $300. I put down at the very bottom of this section our own state bar convention for a two-day conference is $340 registration fee. You know, so I pose the question, how does our training compare to national conferences? You know, because we oftentimes think, national conferences are the end-all be-all. But what we're finding is that we're giving, you know, equal or better training. Tyson, Marlise, Marilyn, and I, even Ron, have been to national conferences. And yes, there are some specialty topics or, you know, your national presenters that are just incredibly dynamic. But generally speaking, I mean, you know, you guys echo we get the reports back that our conferences are on par, if not better, than some of the national topics. You know, we sent 11 prosecutors to NDA's conferences this year, and again, that's the report, feedback I'm getting, is that, UPC conferences are better. So, you know, generally speaking, we're providing high-value training for an incredibly low price. CJC, they charge $125 for their conferences. I don't know how many of you attend, you know, their May symposium, but theirs is $125. How long ago, I forgot to ask you, how long ago did we raise it to 75? 5 years? 6 years?
I think it's only been four, hasn't it?
I didn't think it was that long.
Oh, has it not been that long?
It was when we were at Weber County, it was a couple of years before you came on, so I want to say...
It's been at least five.
Has it?
I'd say six.
Is the problem just that we think the values there?
Well, so
can be used.
We went from 35 to 75. It was a big jump.
Well, and maybe what I should have done is I should have put this on the back end. So let's hold that thought for just a minute as to why we would consider raising it. So one is to harken back, you know, so since 2008, you know, we've lost about $70,000 in surcharge income in here. So in the 5 years I've been here, Marilyn, Ron, and the director have not received any kind of a pay raise other than the COLA raises. We don't have money for pay raises this year. You know, we'll have it next year, but I think certainly Marilyn and Ron, with the increase in responsibilities I've given them, and they've done some awesome and outstanding things, I think the council, you know, I'd encourage the council to consider pay raises, you know, but that would be next year or beyond. Additional conferences, you know, we have our standard repertoire of conferences that we do. And then you can see down in the middle of page 8, in years past, we have done additional conferences on top of the standard conferences we did. So it's been years since we've done an adult sex crimes. It's been almost 5 years since we've done an advanced trial skills. I don't even remember, it's been 5 years or longer since we've done a DUI or a DRE, you know, specific training. Homicide, we have done that, but Salt Lake did one last year. Do you remember, is that when Rich did his? Mm-hmm. Okay. Visual trial, we haven't done anything with juvenile in the 5 years that I've been here. We did a white collar crime 3 years ago, maybe.
Three or four.
We did mental health about 3 years ago.
When you first came on.
Yeah, we've never done an elder abuse, and then we did human trafficking. We co-sponsored that with the AG's office.
We did an elder abuse years and years, years ago.
Now, North Carolina, they're a completely different model than we are. They have way more grant fundings, but I got this week.
And a bigger staff.
And they have a bigger staff, but they do, let's see, I should have counted. I bet there's 20 to 25 conferences that they do just in 1 year. So, for example, victim or working with special victims, when the offender's a juvenile, child physical abuse, let's see, human trafficking, they got up in smoke, I'm not sure what that is, elder abuse, lethal weapon.
Do they have their annual, do they have like biannual conferences?
Yes, so they essentially do the same repertoire that we do, but they just add, you know, they have all of these other.
So they've got 3 or 4 conferences every month.
Yeah.
So this is like the first.
That'd be too many for us.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
That's why they have to have a bigger staff.
You're just saying that there's a lot of opportunity if we could do a few extras.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying, Ron. You know, is are we to the point, you know, as a council, that you would like to see some of these additional specialty conferences that we could do? Right now, we can't afford to. One, because we don't have the funds, and two, with the staff, it makes it a challenge. But then I pose a question, you know, do we even want to offer specialty conferences? It's been nice that Sim has had a focus and has wanted to do specialty training. The AG's office has been doing some specialty training. You know, do we let these other agencies that have that interest and have the ability provide these type of specialty courses? Or since that's our mandate is to train, do we want to try and look at ways to offer, you know, more of a specialty boutique, type classes where, you know, we tailor them to a specific need, a specific topic, as opposed to trying to be really broad so that we appeal to, you know, everybody across the state. Let's see.
I think we're already doing that somewhat through Marlene's
I agree.
Guys here, just not conferences. They're actually going out mm-hmm. to the locations and mm-hmm. training. Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe some of what they're doing through conferences.
Right. And maybe that's the answer. It's like I said, I'm just throwing it out there is, you know, to see what we'd want to do. If the answer is no, we don't want to do additional specialty training, then maybe we don't need to look at raising, you know, conference fees or not as much. I think if we want to, it'd be nice. I'd love to have a part-time secretary that could do some of this. If we had a part-time secretary, we actually could do more conferences. But, you know, that's, you know, we work within the budget that we have, but I just raise it, you know, for those
I'm of two minds of it,
yeah.
Craig. I think on one hand, if you leave it to the separate agencies to do specialty training, then UPC is slowly becoming less relevant to the question of training mm-hmm. over time. On the other hand, if you increase fees, you also kind of provide a disincentive to go to UPC.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answer is on that, but I can mm-hmm. see how both could be beneficial and
right.
Detrimental.
Right. One thing in here is, I think Robert brought it up, or, you know, switching from surcharge to dedicated funds, right? We've talked about it, and that's something that Reed and I have preliminarily talked about. And I don't remember who it was in public safety that went from surcharge funding to dedicated funds. But, you know, maybe that's a solution that we look at. You know, the devil's advocate in me says, well, all of those people that are getting surcharge funds, you know, probably have an equal argument as to, you know, let's just get dedicated funds from the legislature. Or maybe what we do is we go to the legislature and say we need X number of dollars dedicated on top of the surcharge or in addition to the surcharge. But that's something that Reed and I are going to talk about a little bit.
Just a question that I would ask in regards to a bunch of extra specialty conferences. 99% of my going about is police officer training because I can't get prosecutors to do any more than what we already offer. And I would be curious if we could get prosecutors around the state to come to these extra trainings, because what we're already giving them gives them their minimum CLE for their two-year cycle. If they come to spring, 2 years, and then either like Fall or OOPA, they've got their CLE for the 2 years. And it's really hard. Like if we were to come and do a regional thing down in your area and invite, you know, surrounding counties and everything, are we going to get all those prosecutors out of their offices to come to a two-day training or a four-day training?
Probably not.
And so that could be, that's the question I ask is, I mean, I have ideas to bring in, you know, you mentioned Lethal Weapon. That's a TSRP training is what it is. There are other things that TSRPs around the country are doing, and I've explored that, and my grant manager is actually open to me asking for more money to put on those types of conferences. The one thing that's always kind of inhibited my desire to want to put in the effort to do that is, will I be able to put butts in the seats?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just ask the people in this room. Are you coming to extra conferences? If we put them on? It's
difficult, yeah. It would be hard.
Well, but,
I mean,
so
it would have to be something that I needed.
Right.
Which is what? You know, I mean, that's individual for every single prosecutor.
Yeah, right. And that's dependent upon what's going on in each office at that exact time.
Right.
Yeah. Buck, could you add some of these as a track on some
of that's some of the things that we have done to get around that, is like we'll try to do a theme. Like when we did Fall and Vernal, we tried to make it, you know, a mental health type theme. You know, not every track was on that topic, but, you know, so that's how we have tried to accommodate it. You know, I don't know, with, like, you know, looking at North Carolina, if we had something similar, is if people would say, well, you know what, I don't want to go to Fall just for the broad topic. I'd rather ask my boss to go to, you know, cross-examination. You know, we could bring in the experts on concession point cross-exam or something, you know, whatever it is that we come up with, if we would start seeing that, you know, maybe.
Just as an example, this year in the, I mentioned this to you, this year in the Children's Justice Symposium, they're going to do, I've been working with Rob Parrish at the DA's office, and we're going to do a whole track on the investigation and prosecution of child homicide.
Right.
And Chris Allred from Weber County is going to help out on that. And so, you know, there'll be a whole series of sessions on that, aimed at investigators and prosecutors.
Right, right.
Can do something like that, you know, tag, you know, just decide this time we're going to do a track on on this topic or this topic.
Right.
Well, maybe, like, and maybe you don't even know this, so it might be an unfair question, but the trainings your office has done on these specialty stuff, what percentage of people are out of your office that are attending?
Well, the one that I helped present, which was about competency and civil commitment issues, it was about 50%.
So half was from your office and half was outside.
Yeah, I've been to trainings over at your office. Quite a few people from our office.
I mean, and that, like you said, that's been the beauty of it. You know, having the other offices that have those specialty. I mean, really, for UPC to do a human trafficking, you know, the AG's office. Yeah, I mean, really, you know, it's the AG's office that has the expertise. So, should it be the AG's office that does a training? But, you know, it's really going to be for their in-house. But we're responsible for training prosecutors statewide. So, you know, at the same time, we can't go to the AG's office and say, hey, well, you guys, you know, put on a human trafficking and let everybody else come.
At the NDAA summer summits, they have everyone together, and then they split into different courses based on the attendees' interests.
Yeah.
is it possible to do some of these general, like a spring or fall conference, and then breakouts, essentially,
yep. Yeah.
So that you can do the specialties,
we have done that at fall conference.
But that will still involve more rooms, which is more cost.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well,
it concentrates everybody's time.
Exactly.
You essentially could have 3 full conferences going on at one time.
Right.
The one thing I was thinking, though, that most of the breakouts have been pretty short.
Well, and they have.
You might make them a two-hour breakout.
A subject that you want to do or a conference, and we could, you know,
partner.
We could partner up and
with other agencies.
With other agencies, and everybody could come to this event. I mean, we could still find facilities that do that.
It just seems like it might be a way to split this, maybe.
Exactly.
Or an add-on day, mm-hmm. or...
Well, right, so that's the thing I was thinking, is if we want to do some of these specialty tracks that, you know, take up a half day, is maybe we consider going 3 full days, you know, as opposed to...
2.5.
And if we do that partner with other agencies that have...
3 days instead of 2.5 is...
Right.
Not going to make a difference. No, it's just...
Both will travel,
right? You know, instead of getting out at noon on Friday, you go till 5, and if that's the case, then I would say let's go Monday through Wednesday, because I'd feel better about driving home on a Wednesday night than I would on a Friday night.
Yeah.
I like it better on Friday night, but that's me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like Friday night. Oh, I don't
because I'm
going to
stay over again for another night.
Well, I mean,
instead of drive home at night.
Yeah.
Tuesday through Thursday, just to destroy the whole week.
There you go.
That would do it.
So it sounds like really we're not, you guys don't feel like we're not providing enough training opportunities.
I think we're great, honestly.
I think based on the way our state is set up, where your population centers, you have one in the south, you have the northern, and you have outliers. It's just, I think it's tough to do too many of it, because you're relying on, unless you do everything right here in Salt Lake, which they're already doing a lot of trainings on their own now, I just think to draw the numbers you're going to need to break even on everything, it's going to be tough.
Okay. And again, like I said, I'm just raising it because I want to make sure that we're meeting everyone's needs. So, okay, thank you. That gives us some direction. Also, under finances is with the John R. Justice grant, and this really is a very minor amount. Maybe it's not worth actually doing, but I'm just raising it to get the council's input. I'm allowed to charge administrative fees against the grant. Historically, we have not done that. We have just, in the grant application, we say that 100% of the fees will go to prosecutors and public defenders. So that's an option where I could figure out how much time we are spending and reasonably charge it against the grant. The drawback with that is we get so little anyway that... in terms of grant funds, that I hate to see our recipients receive even less.
Well, and the ones that get it are the most needy, in my opinion.
Right. Well,
I would hate to charge them anything.
Okay, I just am throwing it all on the table. Okay.
How much are we getting in a year?
$32,000.
Well, and how much time are we spending on that?
I spend a lot of time.
Well,
like 20 to 25 hours.
I don't know if
hours.
We should just dismiss
get rid
charging
of the grant.
For that. I don't know if we should, I mean, I understand your point about the most needy are getting that, but I mean, if you're spending a bunch of time on that, then maybe we should consider charging something towards the grant.
I mean, this year I could keep track of how many hours, but it really is a lot because, one, it's every year I get a different requirement from DOJ in terms of reporting and or tracking. But yeah, it takes an incredible amount of time. Plus, we have a review committee that gets together, and they're the ones that actually go through and review all of the applications and make the awards. We've got it down to a system. Ron L. Crosley, he's from Department of Education in the state. He has a spreadsheet. it's great. We just plug in numbers, and it spits it out. And
is UPC required to administer that grant?
No. That was just...
But if we didn't, it wouldn't be administered.
Yeah. That's reality.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't take place in Utah.
just wouldn't get
so,
it.
So since UPC's so focus is prosecution.
The defense bar wouldn't administer it.
That's what I was going to say.
Defense bar wouldn't administer it.
Mm-hmm. Could we assess any fees against the defense bars? The defense attorneys?
It would be split equally
just
between both sides.
Yeah. So, right. So the money that comes is shared equally, but I'm talking about the fees.
The fee
where UPC serves prosecutors. We don't serve defense attorneys, but they're getting the benefit of the program.
Right.
Can we assess some fees towards them?
I don't know.
I'd have to look.
I don't know if you saw me smirking, but that was my exact thought when I was smirking. Why don't we just charge the defense?
Well, it is. I don't know. So
I mean, essentially, you would be, because part of that would come out of what would be split between defense and prosecution.
An application
fee.
I don't know that I've ever actually shared the numbers with you all, but. So we divide it in half. So 16 or 17,000 goes to public defenders, and then the other half goes to prosecutors. I get maybe 7 or 8 public defenders that apply, so they're getting $3,000-$5,000 in awards, whereas I get 30 prosecutors that apply. And last year, I think the lowest was $345. That's almost not worth it in my time and/or the applicant's time, you know, in putting it all together. But
I stopped applying.
Well, yeah, some people
stop. My last award was like $420, and I was just like, because it isn't just print off a piece of paper and write your name on it and turn it in. It
takes a lot of
time to apply.
It's a lot of.
And I was just like, that didn't cover a month's payments.
So
I stopped applying for it years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, I toyed with just throwing my hands up in the air and saying, let's not do this anymore, because the clientele that I serve are not getting a huge benefit from it.
Right.
So I don't. Let me. I'll make a note. I'll look and see.
Know. I didn't
know
you did that much work with it.
Oh yeah,
no,
it takes a ton of my time.
Let us know about how much time. I mean, maybe we want to charge, and maybe we don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let us know.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Well, and I've never. I've just done it because I recognize that it's a service.
It's a service.
But as I was thinking about it, do we charge a fee? Then anyway, I'll keep track of the hours this year and report back.
And how many of those hours are really administrative, you need to do it hours, versus just clerical support?
Well, see, that's the other thing. Yeah, that's why I'd love to have a secretary.
Which we don't have, but that also indicates where the need is.
Right, right. Yeah, some of it's just sending out emails, then it's writing letters, we award letters to everybody.
That's all clerical support.
He spends hours doing that.
You know, entering all the data into spreadsheets, so. Okay. Okay, the next area, I know we're running late, so I'm going to throw this out and I'd like to really, you know, discuss it at some point. So this last year, I'm calling it Challenge the Process.
Before we do that, can we circle back about giving you guys a raise?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what, because we were holding off on
that. Oh, that's right. Okay, yes.
So how much do we need to increase the fees to basically maintain what we're doing with the training now, but create a window for raises?
I didn't even think of that question.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the same thing. We talked about raising fees, but how much is that going to actually raise in income versus how much we plan to spend? If we can get a raise, we need to know where those numbers lie.
I don't know why that didn't occur to me.
What questions did you want me to ask?
that's a good question.
That's a good one.
Just say we're going to give you So let's table that till April.
Okay.
We'll have more people to discuss.
Right, and I will, so I will come back with that information. Yeah, I don't know why that didn't occur to me.
We don't even get COLA raises.
Oh, yeah. Well, no,
in the last 8 years, I haven't had one.
But see, Stephen, this needs to be an open, honest discussion. Is maybe there's not room in the budget, you know? And I'm not saying that you have to give raises. It's just if the council decides that it's appropriate, then we need to be prepared, to talk about that.
And it would be good to know how much.
Like I said, that just didn't occur to me.
I have had a
raise. Okay, so the other, like I said, and I know we'll talk about this or come back to this. So Challenge the Process. This is a term that comes from the Leadership Challenge from the Skousen Posner. So I've read 3 books on leadership this year. And I've been to a couple different conferences where some of the tracks have been leadership. And I felt like, our staff and the council, we could benefit from looking at what we do. Now, I'm not saying that we need to change for the benefit of change, but I think we all recognize that sometimes change is a good thing. So I wanted to, talk about challenging the process. So I'm going to go back and ask you to look at this, you know, read through this. The question I want to ask is, what is the council's role? We've talked about it actually a couple times here is we're responsible for training. That's what our statutory purpose is to provide training. But what, and I've been thinking about this just because I get emails and people ask me, what is UPC's position on this topic? And my response is, well, that's not a training topic. But I know that's not what they're looking for. And I think the perception, and maybe with our younger attorneys, you know, they say Utah Prosecution Council, that sounds like we're the governing body. You know, and that's the perception, I think, that the prosecutors in the state have is like, we're the final voice on all things prosecution, but we're not. And so I guess my question is do we want to somehow redefine our role? Do we want to be more of... again, you know, we'll never be the final voice because AG's office is the largest prosecution agency in the state. We all have, you know, you're all county attorneys, you all, you know, in cities and whatnot. Is you know, I shouldn't be, and I don't know that UPC should be the final voice on all things prosecution, but that's the impression that I think a lot of prosecutors have. You know, and so I pose the question is, you know, what is our role? Provide assistance. Is a really broad umbrella. Under provide assistance is how we came up with PIMS. Under provide assistance is how, you know, we're now doing the e-prosecutor system. Providing assistance, you know, Robert is why UPC is administering the John R. Justice Grant. You know, it's just, are they taking the food?
Yeah, they're coming for the food, so I'm...
Okay, I'm going up. Anyway, so if you'll just take a look at this, ultimately, what I'm proposing, what I want to come up with, like a council book. You know, we have a mission statement that hasn't been changed since August of 2009. I don't think that's right. That's swap statement. You know, what is our vision? Do we have long-term, short-term goals?
It's combined. Is what it is.
Well, yeah, but see, we need a different mission statement than SWAP because SWAP has a very different role. What we do here in the state. I throw out here: do we want to have some role in best practices? You know, SWAP just came up with their Brady Giglio policy, but Salt Lake, Utah, Weber, Davis, you know, I don't know if you guys have your own separate policy. How do the county attorneys, AG's office going to feel if, you know, it's UPC saying, here's the best practices for the state. And so does UPC need to be that voice or do we let it be SWAP or some of these organizations?
Well, have you ever thought about doing anything with the Utah Prosecutor's Handbook? Kent Morgan?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that the other day. I haven't done much more than think about it. And I know there's a contract as we've been trying to downsize.
I mean, that seems to fall in our purview.
Yeah.
Utah Prosecution Council. I just don't know.
I'll look at the handbook again and see what the contract says. I think it was revamped maybe in 2007, I think is what my file shows, is when Kent did an update to that. But, yeah, maybe that's we look at that and update that. So that's at some point I'd really like to talk about that. But what I would love to see is if I can get it figured out on my budget is do a retreat. You know, SWAP did a retreat last summer, and I think they...
This summer, they're doing it again.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking is if we could do a UPC Council retreat and, you know, talk about some of these things. And maybe it is that we just continue focusing on training, you know, maybe update our mission statement, and go as, you know... go forward as we have done. It's just, like I said, in reading, you know, these books on challenging the process and looking at how we do things and seeing if we can improve things for our constituents, our clientele, that's what was brought up. Also, council members, you know, what are your roles? Do you feel like we're using you? You know, I put in my notes here is I don't know that we are fully using Scott Stevenson from Post, you know, and Haley from UPAA. And I don't know that we're fully using you guys as I know many of you, if not all of you, attend SWAP, but I know some don't, so do we need to have a council member, you know, have something on the agenda where we report back to SWAP, so those of you council members